Well, once again, I'm on the road, and it's the news, according to me. Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure why I'm not hearing myself in the background here, but the probably had some weird intro music there. What's important this morning? What's important is this. If any of you watched my show, yeah, I watched it. You sit there and stare at your phone or whatever you're listening to this thing on. There's nothing to see. It's just, you know, just me with a microphone. I've got a camera in front of me that's probably watching me, but you're not watching me through the camera, so that's not really important. What you do can't see that you really need to see is what I'm doing here with this cup. I've got Earl Grey tea in it with it's mostly sugar with a little bit of Earl Grey tea, some hot water, just to, you know, so I can slurp it up better. Seems to be pretty fun. It's hitting the spot this morning. Yeah. If you listened to my show yesterday, I did throw a show out there last night that I was just livid, and I still am, but I've calmed down to my normal ranting self this morning. I'm in Flint, Michigan this morning. I'll be here till this afternoon sometime. I'll leave here. I'll end up in White Plains, New York, I think, tonight. And I'll be there for a while. Till tomorrow sometime. Leave. I don't know. And at the moment, I'm listening to the news. I'm listening to some other pundits. But I listened to this fellow by the name of Matt Walsh, who's becoming more and more popular. This guy started out, it's a pretty amazing story, Matt Walsh. He was hired by the Daily Wire, and I don't know where they discovered him or why they discovered him or where he was when they discovered him, probably in his car. Because initially he did his whole show, typically from his car. That was his thing. He sat in his car and he talked, gave his opinions. He has a very sharp wit, self-deprecating, he's got a very unique sense of humor in the way he speaks. He'll poke fun at something, kind of around the side. He's a guy with a good hook punch, I call it. Right, doesn't come right at you with it. It's the little side comments he does that if you're not paying attention, you miss them all. And sometimes they're just right in your face. I mean, he gets right in your face with what he believes, and he's able to articulate and argue that very quickly, which is a unique talent today, most people. And he calls out these guys, these Republicans who are just mealy-mouthed on all kinds of issues, whether it be abortion or whatever it is. And they like to hem-haw and try to play both sides of the aisle and be the centrist and the sane person, you know, not to be this crazy radical right person, which is, that just, the left eats that up because they can call up, because that's hypocrisy. When you start to do that, you're being a hypocrite. And you're trying to play both sides of an issue. I can understand, you know, trying to understand. I can see trying to understand the other side's argument, to listen to their points. I can see that. I don't do that always, because I typically, you know, have my opinions and I think I'm right, and that's. So I just let you know what those are, and I don't really care whether you have a different opinion or not. I do. I mean, I care. But I would, you know, if everybody had the same opinion as me, then it'd be a pretty boring place to live, I guess. But it's, I have to say, Earl Grey tea is a little different than Lipton. just a little different. Not sure I like it or not. It's okay. I guess Lipton doesn't really have much of a flavor. It's just Earl Grey has a little flavor. Or maybe it's just different flavor and I'm just so used to it. Yeah. So, you know, it's nice to have opinions that are differing and be able to talk through those things and have some kind of a discussion about them. Typically, and this is the typical, when you're out there in the world and you're discussing points and pondering things, the world has gone mad. Most people do not care to have a discourse type of discussion where there's differing opinions, and they like to present their thoughtful and reasonable hypothesis or their reasoning for why they believe what they believe. And I think a lot of people just basically have not thought through why they believe what they believe. Because people just are very passive learners nowadays. We become a society, which has been basically you sit in front of a tube and they tell you what to think. That is literally, they don't tell you how to think. And school is the same way. Most of the public school system is set up to teach you what you should know, not teach you how to read, write, do arithmetic, and think for yourself. They don't want that. They don't want you learning how to be a productive society. Well, they do. They want you to be productive in their society, a society that they're creating. But how to be independent and produce and provide for yourself. They don't like rugged independence. Barack Obama was very good at belittling the idea of independence. He would joke and make jabs about rugged individualism. Oh, you're supposed to, you know, rise up with your rugged individualism? Yeah, that's what this country's about, Barack. That's what we're about. It is about individualism, and there's a reason for it. There is something about, and you know, parents know this, good parents know this, that you don't help your child by doing everything for them. I think this just comes naturally. At some point, you know, if your child gets up every day and you tie their shoes, you never let them try to tie their own shoes. You always tie their shoes for them. They will never be able to tie their shoes. And they'll go through life having to wait for someone to tie their shoes. And I don't think most parents want that in their children. I think most parents want their children to be able to tie their own shoes, to do things for themselves and to become independent and be able to take care of themselves and live a productive life, a life with purpose and meaning. Not just being a jellyfish and kind of rolling through life and letting everybody else take care of them around them, depending on the government. Because, you know, frankly, the leftist mentality is that, you know, government is basically our provider. We just work, pay our taxes. Somehow they think that there's this utopian society that will be created if we just all do what we want to do and let the government take all the money and just provide us with what we need. But that somehow is going to provide incentive enough to advance our society and to create things that will create a better life for people. Because after all, the government will provide a better life for us, won't they? Government doesn't produce anything. They produce debt. That's what they produce. And they're very good at it, by the way. So, you know, we continue to move through this interesting experiment here in the United States. One in which we we seem to try to continue to dissolve what got us to becoming one of the most powerful and productive nations in the world, and that is our independence. Individual liberties. The left wants to change that. Make no mistake, socialism is not about individual liberties. Look at what's going on in Europe. Whenever there's a crisis, Europe cracks down and tells you this is what's going to happen. This is what you will do now, which is what they're trying to do here. And you'll have people coming out, and Nancy Pelosi even came out and said, we can't mandate vaccines. We can't do that. It's not something we can do. We can't make people take vaccines. Correct. Nancy, you are correct on that point. But here's the underlying caveat that Nancy didn't say, but she knew was the case. And even in saying it, she was signaling something. These people talk about bird calling. They're the original. They're the ones who accuse other people of bird calling because they know what it is. They know. I wouldn't even know what it would be had it not been for the leftists. When they start accusing people of doing it, well, that's probably something that they know how to do because they do it so well. They were talking about AstroTurf or anything else that they talk about. They were the ones who invented it. So as she's talking about this, we can't do that. What she's really saying is we're depending on private companies to do this. Big tech, big business, individual businesses themselves to mandate the vaccines, which is exactly what's going on. You have industries, whether it be the health industry, the travel industry, who are finding out that they can mandate, well, if you can't work here unless you've got it, if you've been vaccinated. Of course, then what they find out is we need employees, and we're putting restrictions up, so now we're short on employees. It's kind of a conundrum for them. They're talking about what can we do to hire more people? Having major meetings about these kinds of things, high-level meetings. How can we encourage and entice more people to come here to work? But in order to come here to work, you have to do this, this, and this. And then once you do come to work for us, we control you. We can mandate what you can do, what you can and can't do with your body. So that's where we're at with some of this stuff. Now, there's Matt Walsh did a really good show yesterday. I just watched it this morning. Listened to it, basically. He's on his game. Sometimes he's better than others, but he's always usually pretty much on his game. A lot of things have been going on. And from Afghanistan to the border to, of course, now they're talking about pressing this new issue with the Delta variant thing stuff that's going on. And I'm hearing some interesting statistics, and I wish I had them in front of me because I keep listening to the radio and I don't have a way to record this stuff as I'm listening to stuff. They just throw it out in the news and then I miss the thing. And it's I don't have time to go back and dig it out. And of course, that's what I probably should do before I start my show, but I didn't do that. One of the things that, and yeah, I'm going to go down the COVID path here for a moment. Because this is really an issue that's, I think it's at the heart of some things that are going on. It's probably got the most impact on every individual's lives right now. We are over a year now into this thing, almost a year and a half. We are almost at we're not at a one-year point where we've had the vaccine, but we're certainly having some interesting statistics now coming out, considering that last year we were in the midst of a pandemic. There were high numbers of cases, high spread. And you know, we were told that we wouldn't have a vaccine for, you know, at least 4 years. The president was lying because
And he's just hopeful because he's saying there's going to be a vaccine real soon. It's not going to, but that's just ridiculous. It can't happen. Because then it did. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm saying that's pretty amazing, but I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good thing. Again, should we trust that or not? I don't know. It's why is there a reason that all of a sudden it was so fast now? And I realized there was more manpower put into it. There were things that were fast-tracked in terms of paperwork now sitting on a shelf somewhere. They were putting this issue on the top of the stack. It wasn't waiting in line for anything to get this thing done, which is a lot of times what happens. Paperwork goes to a particular person's desk and it sits there for 3 months, and then next person, you know, that person stamps it, sends it back and says, you misspelled this word, you got to redo it again. I mean, just stuff like that. I just don't know how that stuff goes. It's bureaucracy. This was not done that way. This was never left sitting on a shelf somewhere or on someone's desk. This was every day someone was working with this thing, trying to get approval. So there was nothing, no paperwork shuffles. However, there is something to be said for time in testing and understanding what's going on with this stuff. Now, here's my question for those of you who are rampant vax pushers. Does the vaccine keep you from getting COVID? I'm sure there's people out there saying, yes, it does. Really? So you're saying that if you have the vaccine, you can't get COVID? You see, some people believe this because the president actually said it, and it's not true, because there are vaccinated people who are getting COVID. There was a bunch of students recently, this one college campus, that only allows vaccinated individuals to be on their campus. Now, there were a few people there on the campus that were not vaccinated. It was less than 1% for some reason. I guess because they had some kind of exemption. They can't take vaccines. It's a medical condition. They can't do vaccines. Of those people who were there, almost 400, I think it was 390 students, contracted COVID. Vaccinated individuals. Now, of those 390, I think I believe it was about 1.5% of them were not vaccinated. I think there was four or five people that were not vaccinated who contracted COVID as well. So almost 400 people. The narrative is, you know, that, well, they because they got COVID, it's not as bad. Now consider these are college students, okay? Which typically, generally, college-age individuals in their early 20s are pretty much symptom-free with this thing. I mean, they're very rare to have symptoms anyway. So the two questions are, can you contract it, and can you spread it? And of course, those answers are yes on both cases. That's a fact. You can contract it, and yes, you can spread it. The Delta variant, for instance, are you less susceptible to getting it by having the vaccine? And the answer there is yes, you're less susceptible. Are you less susceptible than someone who has already had COVID? No, you are not. In fact, you are less susceptible if you've had COVID, up to 14 times less susceptible to contracting the Delta variant than you are to if you've had the vaccination and have not had COVID. So this boils down to the questions that I have is, what's this mandate about? And I think I asked this question yesterday in my livid rant that I had. And it just comes back to why, what is the deal here? why such a, it's the same thing with the mask. We have this strange infatuation with the mask, thinking that, well, if you're wearing your mask, you're protected. That's, yep, just wearing that mask. Oh, okay, well, I'm wearing a mask, so I'm good. No, you're not. Folks, that mask, the studies that finally, after all this time, have come out that have not been posted in any kind of media, is showing that the mask is at best, 4% effective in stopping or slowing the spread of COVID. 4%. And yet, if you don't wear one, you're killing everyone. That's in cases where the mask is worn properly, and it's the proper mask. I'm telling you, folks, if your underwear cannot stop a fart, that little mask is not going to stop COVID. Because the same thing that you smell from another human being is the same size, hitting your olfactory nerve, is the same size as that virus. If you can smell someone's perfume, the perfume could be just the same size as that virus is. That's what we're dealing with here, folks. And that's how ridiculous. Now, I'm wearing my mask and I'm walking around out in public, walking through an airport or whatever it is. And I'm 10 feet away from somebody and I smell their perfume or their cologne or their bodily odors. Doesn't give me much assurance that my mask is really doing anything. As far as protecting me now, whether or not I'm protecting anybody else, I doubt it because I'm breathing through a mask and my breath goes through the mask just like anything else does. Maybe it'll, and I disagree with the whole science behind the whole thing. These are people who are crying science all the time. That we're not science. We don't believe in science. And yet the science is very much not in their favor in terms of what they're continuing to say. There's a dog outside barking. I don't know if you can hear that on this recording or not. But you hear a dog. And now it's barking somewhere. So now I guess the president last night, the former vice president, I should say, came out with these new restrictions. They're pretty much going after unvaccinated individuals. They're going to limit what you can do, and you have to, do certain things. And it's just, the governments themselves. I know that there's been some wins from some Supreme Courts. I know that I think it was someplace out southwest, I believe. I don't think it was Arizona. Someplace out there out west. It was where the state Supreme Court shot down a mandate that was being imposed by some state lawmaker that there was just a state bureaucrat that all state employees had to be vaccinated as a mandate. And I guess they shot that down as, it was on the state constitution. It was unconstitutional for their state. Whether or not that's going to be appealed or not, I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how that would go. If you notice that there's nothing going to the Supreme Court right now, the federal Supreme Court, over these cases, very little. And I think there's things being filed probably, but nothing's being done, nothing's being said at this point. Because if the Supreme Court acted on the law and not on some kind of opinions. They probably would start a firestorm. And, of course, they can't have riots. So they have to do what, they have to turn it down because they can't have riots, according to certain Justice Roberts. So So this morning, my phone is going off. And I guess the thing that is really starting to concern me most is that there is so much going on right now between Afghanistan, the COVID issue, the border, voting rights and laws, the abortion law in Texas. Just, and there's a myriad of other things. Those are just the top headlines. But the news media and the news cycle can basically pick one or the other to deflect. I just realized that my microphone was not on. For some reason, my computer was recording from the computer microphone and not from this microphone, so I just switched it over. I would imagine it's going to be, you know, make a little difference. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it won't. I don't know. Who knows what it's going to do? But, so the issue of them deflecting the way they do is to use the news against itself. They want to control the news cycle. And this gets back more to, you know, the heart of this program, basically, is talking about the news. My opinion of the news and the way they manufacture and make the news. The talking points, even from the right, even if you listen to Fox News, okay, that Fox News is pretty much the majority of the people on there are establishment Republicans. They are the establishment Republican news network, and they're just about as much in the tank for what's going on. I mean, you notice that you know, people like Brian Kilmeade, individuals that that are on Fox, typically will not, you know, go back and defend Trump much or talk about Trump and his policies. They'd like to complain about what's going on right now with this current administration. I think that they legitimately believed somehow that Joe was going to be a centrist, that he was just going to be, you know, he was going to be a little bit more of a rational candidate that we could just deal with for a few years, maybe win again in 2024. Well, I've got news for you. Joe was never a leader. Joe was always a lackey. Kind of bounced along, doing what he had to do to stay in political office so that he could do all of his deals behind the scenes where he really made his real money. And it's not just him, but his family and the people around him, all the bag people. He realized that he could go through life providing for other people, providing opportunities for other people who would then take care of him. And he would just be the guy in the middle with the power. This is who Joe Biden is. And of course now he's lost his mind, and yet he's still being propped up by the press as being some kind of legitimate individual in the office, like he's running the show. He's not running the show. If you don't believe that the media is, here's an issue. Here's something that's interesting. There was a reporter that recently stood up and asked Jen Psaki, as she circled back. This is probably the case in point of where I'm going with this, how the media defends, and there's two points that probably two stories that really just I think epitomize what the news media does for Joe. This one is, this reporter got up and asked Jen Psaki about Major, who's a German Shepherd dog that Joe owns, one of his dogs. We were told that because of all the new changes in the White House and everything that was going on, that the dog was disoriented and ended up biting one of these Secret Service agents, bit a Secret Service agent. So
In the process of this incident, you know, they kind of felt sorry for the dog. Well, the dog was confused. The dog was, you know, the dog was just trying to protect his home, and he's had this Secret Service agent. He bit the service agent. No. 8 times this dog has bitten Secret Service agents. Among other people that he's bitten as well. Now, this isn't about the dog and the way they train their dogs and the way they take care of them and whatever happens there. It's irrelevant. It's if this was my dog, one bite and we'd be going through some serious training. First of all, you don't let it get that far to where the dog is so assertive that they do that unless there's a real reason for it. Calm, assertive, unless they're doing their job and protecting you. And then that will come natural for them. This reporter was asking the question because there was a reason the reporter was asking the question. Very simply. Because the White House had lied about it. So we find out later that the White House had lied and that the dog had bitten a lot of people and that there was other issues with this dog. But we weren't told that. We were told, oh, he bit one person, he's going through some training. And the point that this reporter was making is if you can't be honest about something that really isn't that important, that's just a trivial, menial thing, like a dog, how can we believe you on anything that's important? And this reporter was hitting this was nail on the head stuff here. Because this is just like what happened. I think that they had really prepared all these speeches in this pomp and circumstance. I think that what they wanted to have was, after we left Afghanistan, they wanted to have this big celebration that, oh, look what Joe did. Joe got us out of Afghanistan. But when it turned into a debacle that they mucked up, they had to pivot and start blaming Trump for the one who wanted, well, he's the one who committed us to get out of Afghanistan. He committed us to be out there May 31st, and so that's why we got out in August, which makes no sense. There was a conditional withdrawal in May that the Taliban did not meet up the conditions. That's why we never withdrew. But then Joe wanted this done before September 11th because he wanted to have a big hullabaloo, shamboo, some kind of something going on for September 11th. And you can almost tell that they had planned some kind of big pomp and circumstance thing, that this big accomplishment they were going to give to Joe, make it look like his administration did all this. The Trump, you know, they weren't going to mention Trump having one that initiated the idea of getting out of Afghanistan, because politicians have been promising it for 20 years. But all of a sudden, you know, Joe was going to get credit for all this. This administration was going to get credit for it. That's what they had planned. And they still tried to pivot back around and make it sound like after the last plane had left, our mission was a success. Because just saying it makes it so, right? So they spent days, and that whole narrative fell flat so fast and was so unpopular that all of a sudden it went away. Now, whenever Pacircleback Psaki is asked about it, she still says it was a success and move on. Next question. That's still the pivot and the riveted answer to that issue. But it's not the truth. And the point is, if you can't be truthful about a dog, how can we trust you with the big issues that make you look bad? Well, this reporter was belittled by other people. Why would this reporter be asking questions about the dog in the midst of all the stuff that's going on? Why would he be asking questions about the dog? The question wasn't about the dog. The question was about the principle of why they're lying about the dog and why we can't trust you about anything else. That was the question. But of course, it was spun by other news media organizations. to make it sound like he was just asking a question about a dog. That he's discredited now because he doesn't care about the real things. He just cares about the stupid dog. Of course, if you call a stupid dog, dog lovers would be all upset about that too. But now, I'm a dog lover. I have dogs. I treat them like my kids. But they're still just dogs. I realize they're not human beings. Sadly, I would probably take a bullet for one of them, which is, that's just stupid, but that's probably what I would do. I'm that attached to them. But it's still stupid for me to do that, because it's just a dog. But it's more than a dog to me. And I get that, but I still realize it's just a dog. If I have the choice between pulling my wife out of a burning building and getting my dogs out, I'm pretty sure I'm going to pull my wife out. That's supposed to be a joke. There'd be no question. I'd be pulling my wife out. Sadly, I'm going to lose the dogs. A human life is always more important and more precious. But life is life, and it's all precious. So, we come down to these issues, and of course now I want to talk a little bit about the abortion issue, this whole thing about the Texas law. We have gone literally insane. People who, they've essentially banned abortion in Texas now. Because if the fetus has a heartbeat, 6 weeks after conception, after fertilization, that all of a sudden you can't have an abortion. And now people are going to be, going over the border to Mexico or to other places to get their abortions now. Okay. Well, they always throw up these other issues. Of course, now AOC in all of her wisdom, she came out and spoke on this issue and let us all know that birthing people should be the ones, that this is what's really aggravating is they always come out and say, well, what about rape and incest? Well, that's one of their talking points. If you come out and say anything about, you want to make abortion illegal. Well, what about rape and incest? Okay. If that's the issue, if that's what you're going to land on, let's go there. And let's say, I will concede rape and incest, reluctantly, but I'll do it. In the case of rape and incest, we'll let them make the decision if they want to have an abortion. If you allow all the other cases to be illegal, to be banned. Because we're talking about less than 1% of abortions. They won't go there. They will not go there. Because it's not about that. It's just about they want to throw something up to shut you up. We'll work on the other less than 1%. But let's start there. If that's what they want to throw up as the issue. Because they make it sound like it's just, that's rampant. That's like 99% of them. No, it's 1%. It's less than 1%. I'd be willing to concede that to save the other 99% for now. We'll work on the other 1%. Let's start there. At least it's a move in the right direction. And then we have, of course, the issue of AOC saying, if they really cared about life, they'd care about health care, they'd care about all these other things, they don't care about life. It's despicable and disgusting. No, what's despicable and disgusting? Let me describe to you what an abortion is, and maybe you have a different opinion of what despicable and disgusting is. Tearing limbs from a body inside a mother's womb, crushing its skull, that's despicable and disgusting. Is you have a problem with me talking about it? But you have no problem legalizing it. They're going after the most vulnerable
Yeah. The most vulnerable, really? The most vulnerable is a child in its womb. In its mother's womb. You're telling me that that's not the most vulnerable place for a human being. Well, it's my body, my choice. Oh, really? So you have, it's your body. It's got a heartbeat. So you have two hearts all of a sudden. It's another person, folks. Don't punish the child for mistakes you've made. Well, it's just a clump of cells. And so are you. I think I've pretty much made my point on where I stand on abortion several times on this podcast. I know I've gone a little longer. Usually when I'm traveling, I usually have about a 30-minute show. I know I've gone a little bit longer than that. And I'm going to try to have another show tomorrow morning. It'll probably be a little bit earlier. I may even try to do a live show this week yet. This is Thursday, September 9th, 2021. I'm probably going to have a show possibly tomorrow morning and Friday morning. I have to look at my schedule and see what things are going on. But I'd like to do a live show at some point. Maybe Friday's shows, or one day a week, my show is going to be trying to try to have live all the time. I'll have to see what my schedule looks like for the rest of this year. So I'm seriously considering this drop in this one job. It's got me traveling all the time. In the Kennedy case, we continue to pray for our nation, for each other. God bless everybody. Have a great day and the rest of your week. It's hump day. It's all downhill from here. God bless.